Joshua Toomey here of the Talk To Me podcast. And before we get into this next episode on the CMS Podcast Network, let's talk about the Talk To Me t-shirt. It is awesome. It has a skull, pizza, and headphones, all the great things in life. So if you want to support the Talk To Me podcast, head over to talktomepod.com, scroll to the bottom of the screen, order yourself a Talk To Me t-shirt. Let your friends and family know that you support the Talk To Me podcast, and that will be much appreciated. So once again, guys, talktomepod.com. And now on to the episode you actually came to see. All right, guys, let's welcome Ed and Sergio from Puya. How are you guys doing today?
Yo, very good.
What's up? Thanks, man.
It's pretty exciting, man. Some new Puya for everybody out there. I'm gonna say a potential, but I'm sure it's like potential or something. But man, what a great single! And Sergio, tell me a little bit about the new single.
I mean, yeah, you could say it's potential, potencial in Spanish, but yeah, it's pretty much written almost identically in English and Spanish. Just this minor change, but it means the same thing, you know. The song is about, you know, how we all have this untapped potential and this unlimited potential inside, and it's up to each of us to actually, you know, tap into it and exploit it as much as possible.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome to kind of see you guys kind of pop up again. And it's funny looking at the discography. It kind of looks like you guys take about 10 years between records. You're almost like cicadas or something, where you come back around every 10, 11 years, man. So what was kind of the genesis behind, you know, kind of getting together again and doing some stuff? Was it pandemic related, or was just, you know, it was just time?
Well, I mean, I don't think we ever collectively decided we were going to take a long break like that. I mean, we're talking about a band that was started in the early 90s, and we made some noise throughout the 90s and a little bit into the 2000s, and then we sort of disappeared for a while. And it's amazing to me that so many people at this day and age are still like you know, excited about the band and excited to hear that we're making a new record. And it just, you know, blows my mind that after all this time, you know, we still have that. And our intention now is just to put out this new music and you know, recapture what we had at one time and just, you know, keep rolling with it.
For us, it was, you know, it was one of those things where for a while we were, you know, we took a hiatus, and then we did a few things here and there, music. So they found someone, and then you know, it's just by chance. You know, I guess that's just the way it rolls. You know what I'm saying? When things are meant to be, they're meant to be. When I started feeling better, you know, Alexi, our manager, reached out, and he's like, "Hey, would you be interested in rejoining?" And I was like, "Yeah, of course, man." So it was like, and then as soon as that came out, I guess, you know, that energy of having the four of us back together again just started flowing. And, you know, Ramon had already had one song that was already in the pipes, which was Potential. And he sent it to me probably about a month or two after we got back together, you know, after we announced that we were together again. And I started working on it, and we recorded it. And then certain things, I mean, everything is honestly, your analogy is pretty funny. The whole cicada thing, it's pretty funny, but I love it. But yeah, it things have just worked out that way. Would we have preferred to have stayed active all the time? Yeah. But things have just worked out that way. And it's the same way with this album. It's just, things just lined up. We found somebody who really believes in the band and wanted to help the band put together a new album. Miguel Blasini, alias, you know, Mick Blazing. So he's the executive producer. He's, you know, he has a lot of faith in the band, and he's like, you know, we all, when he came by, the proposal that he had brought together was different, but it somehow ended up morphing into us recording an album. And, you know, here we are a couple months after, you know, 4 or 5 months after everything, you know, we started the conversation, you know, the album's pretty much almost done. Just, you know, we got a few more things to record, and then once that happens, it'll go off to mixing and then off to mastering. And hopefully within the next 3-4 months, we'll have the album out. But yeah, man, it's, again, I mean, for me, it's kind of mind blowing the way just things worked out. I guess when people started hearing that we were back together again and that we wanted to be active, like Ed said, man, interest just blew up. We got a lot of people that have a lot of faith in this band, and you know, for us, it, you know, we're honored. You know, it's mind blowing. It's mind blowing that, you know, people love this band enough to, you know, this far into our career, they're actually still out there and they're still paying attention.
Yeah,
it's almost like we were touring in the mid, you know, late 90s, and then all of a sudden our plane went into the Bermuda Triangle, and, and then we just came out the other side, and it's like not a day went by. Like this, the first day that we got together to jam, it was like we had been playing the whole time. It was incredible. It just felt right, and you know, it became clear what we have to do, and we're about to do that.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts, and I've said this many times on the show, but we were talking a little bit ago about my past and Primer, things like that, and we toured in the late 2000s, we did a reunion tour, quote unquote reunion tour, and played a lot of like Joe's Bar and Grills kind of places. And then so we just kind of quit. And then now doing this show, I get so many people out of the woodworks like, dude, I used to love Primer and blah, blah, blah. Like, so it's funny how at one point it was kind of tough on bands like ours. And then now so many years have passed and like, you know, Puya fans are coming out of the woodwork because you guys are back together. I was going through the YouTube and just hitting, you know, looking at the new video and reading comments and things like that. And people are completely stoked you guys are popping back up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, awesome. Like you said, man, it's crazy, dude. It's like, you know, it's really humbling to see that, you know, to see that kind of support and, you know, enthusiasm for what you do, man. It's extremely humbling.
And you guys were kind of one of the first bands out of the gate kind of announcing, you know, a small Florida tour with Dead by Wednesday. And, you know, obviously Florida hasn't really cared too much about COVID this entire time. So, I mean, you know, obviously, so a Florida tour sounds about right to me.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny, you know, given that, you know, like that the governor of Florida is so okay with keeping the status quo the way it was before the pandemic, given that a large population of his voters are elderly. It's no. Like, that kind of blows my mind, but hey, you know, whatever.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to those dates. It's going to be late June, 23rd, what is it? 23rd, 24th, 25th? Is that what it is, Sergio?
Something like that. I get the dates. I know it's that last week of June, man. I think I said one day, oh yeah, it's the 22nd, and then it was like, no, it's the 24th. It's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of that last week of June, I believe.
Yeah, Longview, Tampa, and Pompano Beach. So just go to our website, and it's all there, PuyaOnline.com.
Kind of going back in time a little bit, the one of the greatest Ozfests of all time is that 99 lineup, which you guys are a part of. Kind of go back in time a little bit and tell me a little bit about, you know, your memories of that Ozfest 99.
Oof, man, how long do you have? We got
my next interview, I think I got an hour and a half till my next interview, so let's go.
Wow, man, there, like, for me, I mean, Ed, go ahead, because, I mean, there are so many things I remember, but, you know, I'll try and keep it brief, but you go ahead, Ed, you tell them what you remember.
Man, you know, it was basically, at that point in our trajectory, I mean, like, that was, like, the biggest deal ever, you know, and And it was just, you know, so massive. And so, I mean, imagine 33 concerts. It was like over 2 months. It was like one day on, one day off, one day on, one day off, pretty much for 2 months. And 16 bands, you know, including like Fear Factory, Slipknot, the System of a Down, Slayer, Primus. I mean, like, come on. There was no comparison, you know. For us, that was a major, major, you know, deal. And I cannot say enough about it. You know, every day was just awesome. So, yeah, I mean, we were playing the second stage. Fear Factory was headlining. Slipknot was with us on the second stage because they hadn't blown up yet, and the main stage was System of a Down, Godsmack, Deftones, Primus, Slayer, Rob Zombie, Black Sabbath, and you know, every time Black Sabbath came on, it was like going to church. You know, they sounded those sirens, and we were all there in front of the stage. Man, it was just amazing. Can't say enough about it.
It's like summer camp for musicians, bro. That's what I told. Like, I like one of the most impactful and truly memorable moments for me was we had a show, and the day that we had the concert was in Dallas, Texas, and man, it was sweltering hot, like at 8 a.m. I think it was in the 90s or something. Like, it felt like it was 100, and it just so happens that that was the day our air conditioning in our tour bus decided to take a dump. And so I was hanging out in the, you know, in the main plaza, you know, the main stage and the halls of the backstage, just for the air conditioning, man. And, you know, and I happened, like, as soon as I walk into the halls, dude, one of the first people I ran into was Sharon Osbourne, dude. You know, and nice. I'm like, fuck, it's Sharon Osbourne, dude. Like, wow. And so I'm just walking, you know, trying to keep my cool. And she literally stops me. And she's like, oh, my God, you know. How are you doing? Like, how are you liking the tour? I hope you're having fun. And I was just flabbergasted. I was like, Sharon Osbourne just recognized me and stopped me and asked me if I was having fun being one of the bands on Ozfest. I was like, oh my God. Like, she was this heavenly queen. And I was like, man, yeah, I'm having a blast. Thank you so much for inviting us. Because from what I was told, it was she and Jack who were the one who picked us to be on the tour.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, so it was, you know.
And, you know, at the time, Jack must have been like, what, like 14 years old? Like,
oh, yeah. Like that.
And, he was a little shit, man. He was like blowing firecrackers next to Dino from Fear Factory. He was like off the roof with Jack. Like, he would like come into our bus and hide because they were looking for him. It was so funny.
He is Ozzy's son. I mean, you know. The apple
but he was a big Puya fan, and he was part of the reason we were there, so we would protect him.
Yeah, it's so crazy to think about him being so young back then, and now you see him, you know, he's a grown man, you know, with kids and wives and all that.
Yeah, he was pretty mischievous. He did like to do pranks. But man, that whole thing is just, it's so many good memories, man. I used to we had already kind of met the guys from System before that, because they were, you know, we went to their record signing party at the Roxy. So we had, you know, we had some run-ins and stuff. So I don't remember how it was. I think it was probably through, like, I made quick friends with the guys from Head PE, and they were pretty good friends with the guys from System. And you know, one of the things that I used to do was I used to go up on stage with System when they would open, on the main stage and, you know, just, you know, scream for their, you know, some of their choruses and stuff, you know, that they let us on. They let some of the other band members from other bands, you know, come up and just do some backing vocals every once in a while. It was really freaking cool. You know, I made a lot of really cool friends. You know, BC from Head PE,
yeah.
Paul from Slipknot. Like, it was like the three, we were like the three musketeers. It was, you know, like I said, Paul, BC, and I, during that time, we would go out and just fucking rip things up after parties and just drink. And, you know, Jack and Red Bull, dude.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. Now, that does not sound good at all.
I just got heartburn.
No. That was, like, we had gone out one, that's another one I'll never forget. Like, it was one of the first times I'd ever got, like, I was so hungover from the night before from hanging out with BC and Paul. And we were doing our show, and I was like, yo, B, because Head PE had a Red Bull endorsement, so they had Red Bull all the time. And I was like, yo, I am so trashed right now, dude. Can I get a Red Bull for me, bro? It's like, yeah, man, no problem. Let me go get it. So he went and he goes and he gets it and he brings in a cup, and we had already started. And so I'm over here. He's like, yeah. So the song finishes and I run over, BC's over on the side of stage. And he's like dangling the cup. And I go over there and I go grab the cup. And I'm like, thank bro, you're a lifesaver, man. And I put it on the drum riser and start talking to the crowd and all that, announce the next song. And I pick up the Red Bull to drink it. As soon as I take the first swag, Red Bull and Jack. As soon as I took it, I looked over to the side and BC is laughing his ass off, dude. Just like, dude, I hate you so much right now, man.
Hair of the dog.
Hair of the dog, dude. Is like, oh no. Yeah, dude, like, there are so many, oh my God, there's so many really cool memories, dude. That tour really blew all the doors open for us.
Remember the drum circles we did at the parking lot of the Super 8 with the guys from Slipknot in the middle of the night and like throwing like,
that? And you remember we had
at the 4th of July? Dude,
like I told you, bro, it was summer camp for musicians, dude. One of the other things we had, like, I don't know where the hell these things came from, but there were these sumo suits. Like sumo wrestlers, they would just blow up suits. Dude, there's a picture of me. I think it was one of the techs from Fear Factory and I were fucking doing sumo fights. We put that sucker on, like, and we were just like, that was hilarious. Oh my God. Dude, there's so much fun crap going on. It was crazy.
Yeah, man.
Crazy is, I know it's one of those tours where I'm sure if you just looked in that on an itinerary and, you know, we're going through everything, you can have a story for every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Again, like another one was when we were in Dallas, it was, it just so happens that it was Vinnie Paul's birthday, and he invited all of the bands and crews to his strip club to celebrate his birthday. That shit was wild, man. It was freaking crazy fun.
Yeah, that was a highlight, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, I was man, I got real ripped that day.
another legendary tour at the time was that Snowcore 2000 with you guys, Incubus, System of a Down, and Mr. Bungle.
Oh,
what
yeah.
What a hell of a lineup there, too. What are your thoughts on that one?
God, man, it was so much fun. Tough to do this during the winter, I must say. We were in the East Coast, and we were, like, freezing the whole time, you know. But it was so much fun. Like that tour was a month and a half, 2 months.
A month and a half.
Yeah, something like that. And it was so much fun. We were doing clubs, and I think maybe the biggest place that we played on that tour was maybe like 1,500 people, but for the most part it was like 500 people, 2,000. So it was really up close, and every place was just jammed, you know, from to the rim. Yeah. Yeah. And so much fun.
Now that I think about it, it was probably anywhere between 1,500 and 3,000 people shows. And like I said, now that I think about it, it's like, that's kind of crazy if you think about the bands that were on there, like System of a Down and Incubus alone.
Yeah.
Like, it just goes to show you that this was during the period of time where they were still ascending. It was, you know, it's crazy to think about that now. It's like System can fill an amphitheater by themselves as well as Incubus. It's like,
yeah.
And here we were, you know, that's crazy thinking about that right now. That is just insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always go back to it. I saw a tour. It was Fear Factory, System of a Down, Head PE, and Spine Shank in like a 500 seat club that wasn't sold out. You know, like, it's pretty nuts to think. And I was like, what? Yeah, you know, it was pretty nuts to see back then. I think that was the obsolete tour. Yeah, it was pretty crazy, man.
Hey, you know what? I just remembered a little story from the snow core.
Okay.
I cannot remember exactly where it was, but we were. I think it was like a. I remember the venue. There was a lake right behind the venue, and it was like freezing waters. And there's Mike Patton from Mr. Bungle, and there's some kids that wanted to get into the show, but they didn't have money and they didn't have tickets. And they see Patton, and they're like, please get us in, please let us in, you know, give us some tickets. And he's like, well, you gotta earn them. and they're like, well, we'll do anything. And he made these kids go into the lake, and he's like, no, you gotta go further in. And they had the water up to their chest and freezing their balls off. And he's like looking at his watch. No, not yet. He's like, please. And they're like, not yet. And, he left them there for like a couple of minutes, and then they came out freezing, and he gave them the tickets.
God.
Oh man, that was crazy.
Mike Patton is something, bro.
I was gonna say, Sergio, is Mike Patton an influence on you at all, or just someone you respect?
Dude, of course, man. But yeah. it's his Faith No More stuff that really influenced. Dude, I was like, when Faith No More's album came out, like Mike Patton's first album with them came out, dude. Like, I was telling the story yesterday with one of the interviews. I literally had a pair of jeans that I had ripped up and everything and bleached and blah, blah, blah. And I literally grew the, you know, it's kind of like that drop and then the splash. But it's upside down. So I literally drew that on my jeans with the marker and did the Faith No More logo. Because, you know, they were a pretty big influence for me.
Yeah, an amazing band. The one last tour I've got on here is Pantera and Kiss. Is that the same? Was that the South America tour they did together?
No, those weren't. We didn't tour, like, we opened for Kiss in Puerto Rico.
Okay,
it was one off. They're both one offs.
Okay.
Pantera one, it was in Mexico City, and we happened to be on tour with Type O Negative. And so the whole ensemble of that tour, one of the dates was opening for Pantera in Mexico City. Now, okay, that nice. Is a story that I tell a lot.
I've never heard it, so let me hear it.
Oh, well, dude, one of my, like, there are two vocalists in metal that, like, are, I wouldn't say gods, because that's a little bit too big of a word, but, like that are on pedestals for me is Philip Anselmo and Sebastian Bach from Skid Row.
So, love them both.
Yeah, dude. So, you know, different reasons, but I mean, just the shit they do vocally to me it's mind-bending. But in the reason why I tell stories, because think of it like that. One of the guys I had on pedestal, we did the show in Mexico City. And as I'm walking back to our dressing room, I know this was after we had played. I'm walking this way, Phil's walking this way, and right as he gets up to me, he just punches me in the arm, goes, booyah, fuck yeah, man, you guys rock. I was like, I almost shit myself, dude. I was like, no fucking way, dude. No way that just happened. Dude, to this day, it's surreal for you guys, like, I mean, I don't know about Ed, but it's like if one of Ed's favorite drummers of all time, like not just one of his favorite, like possibly his top drummer of all time did something like that to him. Like, damn, dude, you guys right. rock. Like, holy shit.
Yeah, man.
Whoa, that was wild.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. I mean, obviously, I'm a gigantic Pantera fan, gigantic Phil fan. And when I first had him on the show, we just did a phone interview. But when I call him and he answers the phone, he goes, "Talk to me, baby." And like from then on, I was just like, dying. And I'm like that, you know, it's the whole thing. It's like, it's Phil Anselmo and he's, you know, saying the name of my show. And it's like, yeah, you know, I've had him on the show multiple times since then. He's the greatest.
Dude, that's crazy, man. Crazy. The other one was like you said about Ozfest, bro. I'm sorry to digress, but
no.
When I was a teenager, obviously that was not too long ago, but not so short ago either.
Right.
But yeah, man, like the two metal gods were Ozzy and Iron Maiden, dude. For me, I was always more inclined towards Ozzy, but I still also love, like, it was hard to choose between those two, but if I had to, I always went on the Ozzy. So for me, it was when I was growing up, like Ed and the other guys, they all lived in Puerto Rico in what we call the metro area. So they were able to, you know, they had access to concerts and stuff like that. Where I come from a little town on the west coast of Puerto Rico. It's about, back in the day, it was about 2.5-3 hours away from the metro area. And, you know, I really didn't, like, I grew up pretty poor. So, you know, not only were we hours away, we really didn't have the kind of money to spare for concerts. So, you know, my first live concerts were when I was a grown ass man.
Right. But,
you know, so it's like, it's one of those things where, you know, I wish I would have been able to see whenever any of the bands that I like were go to Puerto Rico, but no, I didn't get to start doing that stuff till I moved back from Puerto Rico to the States. And I was already grown, you know, with kids, I think, when I started going to concerts, I remember, but that Ozfest will always be the epitome of experiences for me, because I got to see Ozzy Osbourne live. I got to share the stage with Ozzy Osbourne. That's just, like, again, we did that tour, and like, I know we're talking about those tours, but just because I'm going to be selfish and I want to talk about my experience.
Yeah.
You know, we got to tour with Ozzy, and then a few months later, we got to tour with Iron Maiden, dude. I mean,
yeah.
Talk about making some hick kids' dreams come true. Like, those are two moments in my life that, like, I can die happy tomorrow because I was able to do that. I got to see Ozzy Osbourne, and I got to see Iron Maiden, and I got to see him not once, not twice, not three times. I got to see him a ton.
That's awesome.
I made up for all that lost time.
Well, I did want to say that if Kiss is in Puerto Rico, I mean, that's got to be pretty nuts for you guys to kind of go back to Puerto Rico with Kiss. I mean, that's got to be insane.
Yeah, no. And because of the band was from Puerto Rico, and we had good relations with the promoters, and we were able to do a few shows like that, opening for bands that would come in. But definitely the Kiss one was the highlight, you know. They were on
what
the it was the for- it was their Psycho Circus tour, if you remember. That's what it was called, Psycho Circus, and they had an extravagant stage show. You know, we got Paul Stanley flying through the air on top of the crowd.
Kiss, bro.
Yeah, it was amazing, man. It was just amazing just to be there. You know, not to mention play a show there. It was amazing.
I was actually texting with. Go ahead.
Well, the thing with Kiss with that show in particular is. Couple things that happened when we moved from Florida to LA. We're working with Bob Ezrin. Bob Ezrin has a relationship with the guys with Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons. So I don't know how it came about, but somehow Bob thought it was a good idea to bring Ramon to a writing session with Paul Stanley at his house, Bob Ezrin's house.
Yeah.
So when we played in Puerto Rico, Paul remembered that. And after we did sound check, when he and Gene arrived, this shit was wild, dude, because it's like you just can't believe this stuff, because these are people you grew up watching and admiring. And it's like, so Paul Stanley goes, Puya, I know Puya. And he came over and he just started, you know, he said hi to all of us. Then another thing, I wasn't there, but one of the guys was telling the story that Gene actually, right before they hit the stage, full makeup, full everything, right before hitting the stage, came into our locker room, our dressing room, and said hi and was saying thanks. And I was like, seriously, dude, you're thanking us?
Really? You know, a funny story about Gene Simmons. This was back in the day when we first went to LA and we were recording demos with Bob Esprin. I don't know if you remember, Sergio, one time we got invited to this bowling alley where there was a party for Gene Simmons' birthday. And
I didn't get to go. I don't know what happened. I didn't get to go.
I think I went with Harold. Harold went, because only two of us could go, because Bob Esprin had two extra passes that, you know, were for two family members, but they weren't in town, so he gave them to us. So we were like, okay, so who are the two that are gonna go? So it ended up being me and Harold. And when we get there, like Bob introduces us to Gene Simmons, first time I ever meet him, and I'm like, holy shit. And it's funny because the only thing he said was like, because Bobby's like, oh yeah, this is Ed and Harold, they're from the band Puya, we're recording in LA, whatever, this and that. And he's like, oh yeah, Puya, awesome band, but change your name. that's what he said. He's like, I don't like the name. He's like, Puya, what the hell is Puya? I don't like that. Change it.
I don't know if anybody here knows, but I heard recently that KISS stands for Keep It Simple, Stupid.
Really?
I wonder if that's true. Yeah. I don't know. I was watching a documentary about Gene Simmons not too long ago. So I don't know if that's where I got it from, but I heard something recently that said that KISS actually stands for Keep It Simple, Stupid.
Wow.
That's kind of
like a stretch. Yeah, I don't know.
I would say that it's probably they named themselves KISS first and then made up the moniker.
If you watch that documentary and you listen to Gene, it sounds right up his alley.
Oh yeah. I prefer right Knights in Satan's Service, but yeah.
I know, like Knights in Satan's Service is one of the ones I heard a long time. That's why I'm asking about that one, because I heard it recently. I was like, I don't know if anybody else knows. It's like, I wonder if that's true, but it sounds just like something Gene Simmons would come up with.
Right.
Anyway, I digress.
So new album, new single, you know, short tour coming up. What else we got going on?
For now, that's what we've got. We've got some festival dates that we had from last year pushed to this year, and now pushed to next year. But who knows? Right now, hopefully things will start to open up. And once things start opening up, then it's a whole brand new ball game, man.
Yeah, well, I guess we're going to start hitting, it makes sense to start doing shows in Florida because they're already operating at full capacity. And as other places start doing the same, we're going to work our way through. We want to hit all the cities that we can, throughout the next year, 2 years, or whatever it takes, you know.
Yeah, with Mudvayne coming back and, becoming festival headliners out of nowhere, there's no telling what Puya can do, right?
I know we're coming strong, man. We're in it. We're 100% on board here.
If anybody's watching this or listening to this that knows, I would love to do a show or two with Rage Against the Machine and Run the Jewels. You know, so if you know anybody, you got any connects out there, hook it up.
yeah, that would be the epitome of epicness, you know, like wow, a show with Rage, damn.
And Run the Jewels, I know, like I know I'm the hip hop fan in the group, so I'm telling you, bro, Run the Jewels is the deal, dude. Those guys are fucking great.
Awesome. Well, Ed, Sergio, I appreciate the time today. Obviously, new Puya coming, and everyone is totally excited for it, man.
Yes.
Thanks a lot.
So are we. And so are
appreciate
we.
Appreciate you, bro.
What's going on, everybody? It is Chris Aiken from the Classic Metal Show and Aftershocks TV. And before we get to this next episode, I just wanted to remind you that I have a book out there called And Other Things I Should Not Say. It is about the absolute debauchery that raged in my world when I was stationed overseas in Korea, as well as a little bit of Arizona and some basic training and AIT stories as well. It's kind of my military book. It is wild, friends. I'm going to tell you now, it is definitely not biblical reading. So make sure you go over and get it. It's on Amazon.com or my website, Chris Aiken Books, and Other Things I Should Not Say. Get it now if you're bold enough to dare. All right. Here's the episode you actually came to see.